One of the more troubling passages in Scripture, and not one we really want to hear, is it? We want to be numbered among the sheep in this passage, but sometimes we feel more like the goat, don't we? Truth be told, none of us are purebreds. None of us are really sheep all the time. And even the best of us sheep sometimes have a little bit of the goat lurking in our shadows. That's called being human. And that is the way God made us. And so I want to unpack this sometimes troubling passage today, so that we may remember that our Lord did not come to judge the world, but that through him the world might live. I remember hearing this passage when I was a Southern Baptist years and years ago. And I came out of church that day just sure there was no sense in going back. I was a hell-bound sinner. There was no hope for me. I was a bad goat. And that's all there was to it. And so for the next week, a life of sin and debauchery had a certain appeal. If you're going to go out, you might as well go out with a flame of glory. Of course, that isn't the way it happened. This is a passage which on its face is about exclusion. We don't like that term these days, but that's what it's about. It's about separating the sheep from the goats, and our society is real good about putting people into subsets of society. When I was in the second grade, I believe it was, my teacher was Mrs. Johnson, a woman who stood at least, it seemed, 8 feet tall and weighed 3,000 pounds. Mrs. Johnson was trying to teach us how to read. And so different people, according to their abilities, were placed into different groups. I'm sure this is not a pedagogical principle which is still propounded in the halls of pupildom. A little alliteration's always kind of fun. There were the bluebirds. The bluebirds were the ones who could fly through a passage and joyfully recite things and talk about how Dick and Jane went up the hill. Remember Dick and Jane? See Dick, run, run, Dick, run, yeah. And then there was the secondary group, and it was called the Flying Squirrels. They weren't quite as nimble with reading as the bluebirds were. They were a little slower, but they still enthusiastically greeted the assignments of the day. And then there was the third group, the elephants. I was an elephant. Just a minor touch of dyslexia held me back from soaring with the bluebirds. I have despised elephants ever since. The Alabama-Auburn game left me in tears last night. That stupid elephant mascot with his trunk hanging down. Well, I digress. So, exclusion has always been a part of our society. One group kind of lords it over the others, and everybody thinks they are God's gift to humanity. That's just the way we're made. Birds of a feather do indeed flock together. But this passage I want to submit to you is not necessarily about exclusion. Let's face it, sheep and goats are two pretty much diametrically opposed critters. If you've ever dealt with goats, and I'm sad to say I have, they are hard-headed, they are willful, and there is nothing on God's green earth that smells quite as bad as a billy. I won't get into the details of why they smell that bad. Just imagine the worst case scenario, and there you are. But now sheep don't have a whole lot going for them either. And is it Andrew Sedaris? He wrote the book, Me Talk Pretty One Day. Was that him? I can't remember his first name. Anyway, he had an article in the New Yorker this past week talking about rams. He and his partner in England grow sheep, and he talks about rams. And he talks about them in very uncomplimentary terms, that rams are probably worse than any goat you've ever run into in terms of being hard-headed and willful and independent and given to getting their own way no matter what. So you see, sheep aren't all that great either. So when we're compared to sheep and goats, let's remember, we are not at the top of the evolutionary ladder here. So, going to separate the sheep from the goats. Now, lest we too quickly identify ourselves with the sheep, let me employ the technique of Jeff Foxworthy. If you've ever turned your back on a person needing money, you may be a goat. If you've ever put a brass button instead of money into the collection plate, you might be a goat. If you have ever gone to the other side of the street to avoid talking to somebody whom you really don't like, you may be a goat. If you've ever gotten too much change at the store and decided it was going to be too much trouble to tell the attendant about that, goatdom is probably part of you. If you have ever met the day with a grumpy attitude and a sense of despair, goatdom is in your DNA. If you have ever said, God, deliver me from this situation, knowing full well that God has got you there for a reason, yeah, you smell like a goat. Let's face it, we're part of the yin and the yang. We're all goats and sheep together. And I want to tell you something today, lest you feel too uncomfortable at this point. Being a hybrid is okay, because we all are. And this bit about judgment in this passage, I want us to think about that for a moment. Jesus, in every instance in the scriptures, talks about restoration. Jesus talks about redemption. Jesus lives a life of greeting goats and bringing them into the fold. You know, the ones that the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes and the priests, the ones that they wouldn't entertain. No, Jesus is a great goat herd. And guess what? I am convinced that that's really what this passage is about. And I know you're going to be disturbed by the image of fire here, that ever everlasting fire. But let me tell you, there's fire for all of us. And the fire of God is a redemptive, refining fire. It burns away what is the worst, and it brings out what is the purest. And that refining fire, I'm going to tell you something now, that's called life. That's called living. That's called being a human being. We go through life and we slowly and sometimes painfully, we have our rough edges rubbed off. And then there are some people like me who've had the process of smoothing going on for so long that I'm beginning to feel the rough edges coming out again. Vicki calls that cantankerousness. It's the old goat still kicking in there. But you know what? I don't think this passage needs to cause us to worry that much. Sometimes I think that our gospel writer today, I think he had bad days too. I think he had goat goadings from time to time and felt like, you know, people need to get their acts together. And so I'm going to take these images and I'm going to twist them a little bit the way I think they should be. We all do that. Have you ever played the telephone game where one person in a line gives a message to the next person and it goes to the next and the next and the next and the next and the next? And then you ask, what was the message? And it sounds nothing like the original intent. I'm not decrying the authority of Scripture in the least. I'm recognizing that the gospel writers and those who came after and wrote and rewrote and rewrote the revealed word, well, they're people just like you and me. Folks is folks. And I want to hold that up, not as fact, but as possibility. Because in the broader context of Scripture, God is not about the business of destroying his creation. God is about the business of restoring creation, renewing it, refurbishing it, refinishing it. When I was in seminary, had to find a way to make a few extra shekels because being a student just doesn't pay much. So I took up refinishing furniture. Miss Vicki and I would go to these flea markets and we would buy up pieces that looked like they might have at least a little potential in them. And we'd bring them back to our apartment, and there I would get cans of strippies and steel wool and stains and varnishes. And it was amazing how, with a few hours of work, you could bring out the glory of an old piece of furniture. And it would shine there, perhaps close to its original intention. And then I could turn around and sell it for a little bit of a profit. It was not an easy life, but there was a gospel lesson there. God takes us when we're kind of rough and broken and tarnished, and God puts us through this process called life, and as we mature, he rubs us and removes the old tarnish and rebuilds the broken pieces. And in the end, hopefully by the time we have assumed room temperature, our souls will have been burnished to the point of shining like the sun. That's my hope anyway. So I look at this passage and I say to myself, am I a sheep or am I a goat? And the word is I am both. Old goatdom still kicks around inside of me as it does in all of us. But the sheep side of me seems to be winning out. And I'm not sure that that's necessarily a wonderful thing, because you know what? I think God loves sheep and goats the same. And God takes our sheepdom and amplifies it, and our goatdom and refines it to the point where we once again, finally and forever, fit into the scheme of the kingdom of God. And that is a joyous message in the midst of this talk about everlasting fire and eternal damnation. I just don't have time to worry about that, because I am a child, a sheep, a goat of God. So, ha ha, hallelujah. Let us live in celebration, because we know Christ is indeed King and He loves all His livestock. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, we thank You that You have called us to be Yours. We confess, O Lord, that on the road upon which we have traveled, we have picked up dirt and mud and sticks, and perhaps stones. We're a bit worn out and world weary, but we're Yours. And we know that You will amplify the good and refine the bad, according to Your own will and Your loving purpose. So fill us, we pray, with that hope and joy which is ours on this day, when we celebrate the reign of Christ and the victory of the Lamb. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.